You know, I am glad to be used wherever the Lord needs me at the moment, and at the moment it's here, but I do miss that place. It was not a burden for me to be there. Those are my friends. You know, I've known Ackham now for 12 years, you know, and, you know, certainly he's a capable young man, but he would not be where he's at if we didn't have missions. And I know you guys know that it works, but isn't it nice to see? I mean, that's what he does, you know, and he couldn't do it if you guys, you know, didn't care about missions. It's not just a program. It has a name. It has kids. You know, they have kids. You know, and it's a privilege to give the gospel. You know, I was just talking to Mary Jo. Your son's been there what, 20 years? 13. But he's been, how long has he been in? It's been a long time. Yeah. I mean, you think about the life investment, you know, and you see, you know, they come back and you hear us tell about it. Very, you know, not that many of you actually get to go and witness it and meet them. Boy, I tell you what, it just takes on a whole nother level of why we get involved in that, you know. So when I met Ackham, I was just like, Brother Moore did it last year. I just did what like most pastors, if they get a chance, do, and I just took a mission trip. You know, we took a mission trip to Honduras, been there lots of times, went to Haiti, went to Brazil, went to the Arctic Circle, you know, been all over the place, you know, because we had missionaries, and when we could, we'd go check up on them and do those kinds of things, and that's all I was doing. All I was doing was visiting my missionary in Zambia, who unfortunately, 2 weeks after I got there, came home. And Ackham had kept my number. All the churches that supported that missionary, all of them quit supporting Africa, except for me and one other guy. That was it. So now there's no way they could keep that going, and Ackham had my phone number. And he called back to the States. And, you know, what kept me from being able to just say, well, hey, that's too bad, I'll pray for you, is because I just spent 2 weeks with the guy. I saw where he lived. He has a name, and I just couldn't forget about him. And the rest is history. Okay. Thank you. And I hope that wasn't my monkey that you ate. We had a monkey, and we turned him loose in a while, but we did it away from them so they wouldn't eat it. So hopefully that's not Nanners. If it is, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble if it's Nanners. All right. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And as you find out, we're just going to end this evening. We started it off on Monday. Actually, Pastor started it off on Sunday talking about being honest. I had no idea what he was going to do, but I knew what the Lord was going to have me do this week. And it's, you know, we don't make that stuff up. You know, I didn't make it up. He didn't make it up. So that lets me know that was something that the Lord wanted for this church. So we visited that on Monday. We talked about being honest on Monday. And, you know, Peter's problem when Jesus said, hey, you're going to deny me. His problem is he pretended as though that was not going to be a problem. When we know earlier when he was walking on the water, he got afraid and he sank. And the Bible specifically lets you know when he saw the wind and the sea, he got afraid. And when he got afraid, then his faith became weak. That's the very exact thing that was going to happen to him when he denied Christ. He's going to see the soldiers. He was going to see Jesus not fighting back. He's going to see all of that and he's going to get afraid. And then when you get afraid, then your faith goes, and he ended up denying Christ, which I'm sure he regretted afterwards. But he wasn't honest. Had he been honest, he would have responded to Jesus a little bit, a little bit better there. And then we looked, on some things to do once you are honest. We talked about Naaman. Naaman was honest with his leprosy. God told him to go dip in the river. He didn't like what God told him to do. You know, and if we're going to get help, we've got to be willing to take the advice from the Word of God. Last night, we looked at Ahithophel and how that here's a man. He was a counselor to the king. And King David, a good friend, you know, close to King David. Later on, he changed sides, went over with Absalom. You know, and Absalom was trying to overthrow his dad, and Ahithophel gave David some advice. He said, if you'll let me tonight, I'll take some men. We'll go kill David tonight. One interesting thing we saw, he said, give me 12,000 men. I'll go tonight. He says, I'll catch him when he's tired. He says, I will make him afraid, then I'll kill him. Well, the second you read that, you realize, wait a minute. This guy not only wants to defeat an enemy, he's got a grudge here. Why is he so, in our terminology, we would say, I want to pull his fingernails out first, then I'm going to kill him. I mean, he wanted to make the man pay a little bit. That's what that word means when he says, I want to make him afraid, then I'm going to kill him. He said, I'm only going to hurt him. I'm not going to hurt anybody way around. Well, Absalom didn't listen to that, one thing you can look at is that, if you were a military person, that sounds like you got too much of a grudge. You're not making the right decision. Well, when Absalom turned down his request, Ahithophel went out and hung himself. And then you read a little bit through digging in the genealogy that Ahithophel is Bathsheba's grandpa. Well, now you understand why he was a little hurt. And why he had this grudge against David, and why he wanted to kill David, and not only kill him, but make him pay a little bit because of what happened to his granddaughter. So we saw last night what happens when you don't, when you know that there's things in our life and we don't get help. And we looked at what some of those things could be. We talked about Jesus being honest when he was in the garden praying. Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. He wasn't being weak, he was being honest. Helped me out tremendous. Looked at Paul being honest. We looked at all of those things. Then we looked at some of the things that we carry inside. Sometimes we are afraid. Sometimes grown men are afraid, and you'd never know it. Sometimes married people are lonely, and you'd never know it. Sometimes women that look like they got it all together, have depression problems. Sometimes young girls don't think they're pretty enough. Sometimes boys deal with thoughts in their mind and the world around them that causes them problems. Sometimes there's men that just get angry way too easy. And I could go on and on and on about normal, about things that impact our life every day. We talked about the fact that we're a human being. We're a sinner. We're stuck in a broken body. So I might be able to pick out Pastor's faults, and he might be able to pick out my faults. But at the end of the day, nobody gets ahead doing that. Where you get ahead is this: when you just recognized that I'm honest. I meant to tell you, I'll tell you this illustration, and then we'll go to the end. I preached this message some time ago. And when I preached this message, when I got done, the one I preached Monday night about being honest, I preached that message, and when I got done, the next morning I was at a pastor's house. The pastor of the church, I was having coffee with him. And he got a text in the morning service. Now, I preached the same message I did Monday night, and the Monday night's message was this: that we all have those things. And instead of worrying about what's over here and what's over here, let's just worry about us. What do I need to be honest about before the Lord? What would I tell the Lord right now Dave Barnhouse needs? And then, Pastor, can be honest with the Lord, and you can be honest with the Lord. That's the message I preach. And I don't normally look at an invitation. I knew that one. A lot of people came because they were around my feet. You can hear people crying. People were getting help. That morning, a guy texts the pastor and had a complaint about this, not about the message, just somebody else in their behavior in the choir. And I thought, he didn't get it. He was actually making a phone call to the pastor about somebody else's problem. After a message like that, the only way you could do that is totally miss what it was about. What it's about is this. If all of us together would work on that area we need to be honest with, then we give help and hope to somebody else. That's what it was about. So, wrapped all that up, and we're just going to give you a little bit of hope tonight, then we'll head to the house. And in Matthew chapter 12, I want you to look at verse 28. Jesus says this, it's on my page, they're on the same page. Matthew 11, verse 28. The Bible says this, "Come unto me," and this is Jesus speaking, "Come unto me, all ye who are really bad sinners." Is that what it says? No. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." Now, does that mean all ye that have hard jobs? That's what he's talking about. Now, you could possibly put that in there, but that's not what he's talking about. So I want you to identify these words. What could we put on this labor part? That's life. That's living. That's being a broken person. That's living with broken people. That's life. Okay? All right? And the problems that are associated with life. The drama every day. The drama that we've all been through. You know, ourselves, helping other people, relatives, kids, grandkids. All right? It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Does that mean all you guys that are carrying sacks of concrete? Heavy laden with what? Heavy laden with life. Heavy laden with the brokenness that we are. And I cannot emphasize it enough. We are broken. That's why we need Jesus. We not only to get into heaven, we need him. Yeah, you're not going to be able to get into heaven without Jesus Christ. You're not going to be able to get by on this world without Jesus Christ. I not only needed him to pay for my eternal punishment of my sin, I need his help now, every day, because we can be heavy laden. We can be labor in this world. That's what he's saying. He says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So we look at this, and we know, we tell people this when they're going through a hard time. We may even quote it, but how does he give you rest, and how do you come to him? Well, first off, if you're going to come, if all of us that labor and all of us that are heavy laden, you're going to have to be honest with what you're carrying. You're going to have to be honest with what you're going through. Deep down inside, where only God himself can look. You got to be honest with that. And when we're honest with that, and you say, "God, I don't want to be the same next year as I am today." Maybe you're okay with that. Maybe you got to the point in your life where that no longer, you know. Listen, if you're broken, and is it, name me anything, any machine that does not need regular maintenance. Well, where do we get off thinking we don't need regular maintenance? Where we need to come to the Lord and say, "Hey, this is an area in my life that's not okay. I need some help." He says, "You bring it to me and I'll help you." Okay, poof, your problems are gone. Is that how that works? Do you ever get lost in that right there? I know it says that, but what takes place? How does he give me rest? All right? Goes on to say, take my yoke upon me. And you just picture that old fat, two, they still do it in Africa. You got two ox and they're pulling out that yoke, and it's on both of them. And Jesus says, you get underneath my yoke. And you just picture him. He's going to fill that more than I'm going to fill it. So he's going to carry more of that. And he says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. So that's our responsibility. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I mean, how many of you need rest for your souls in this world that we live in? That's rest for your souls is help for your honesty. That's what it is, okay? Then it goes on to say, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Think about how much more we can do in this world as far as evangelism, as far as reaching people, as far as reaching the lost. I mean, this is us being saved. What about those out there? If we're broken and we've got things in our life that we deal with, what about the world who's not saved, where it's just going crazy in their life? You know, I mean, I can't tell you how many meth addicts I've sat in front of. They've got serious issues. They don't want to do meth anymore, but they are in it way too deep. I mean, they beg and they cry and they tell you with all sincerity, I don't want to do it again. And the first chance they get, they'll lie to you and steal you blind. They're miserable. But then there's people out there that aren't on meth that just have everyday problems that are miserable. As you and I experience true and real help from that Bible, then I can then turn around with passion, tell you that the same God that helped me can help you. But not if I'm not going to be honest. Okay? So he's saying that if I come to him, that he's going to give me, does the Bible lie? Then why do we carry our problems when we can have rest? It's right there. Why do we do that? So I'm going to show you what this looks like. I was reading this the other day in Psalms. I just, man, maybe you won't find it interesting. I want you to go to Psalms chapter. Great. I can find it. Hold on. I think it's Psalms 18. Yep. Psalms chapter 18. So I'm going to read this Psalm to you in just a second. There's a book out several years ago when I was in college. It was called Piercing This Present Darkness. It was a fictional Christian book. And I was reading the very first chapter. In the very first chapter, I mean, there's dragons and there's angels and there's swords and there's, you know, sulfur smelling and there's screaming and there's fighting and there's blood. And in the very first part of this fictional book, I was like, what is this thing? Then it cuts away. And what you see in the book is you see a preacher in a church on a Saturday night by himself. And he's praying. The drama that the book tells you about is the writer's view of the spiritual battle between good and evil. Between the demons and the devil of this world trying to impact this man's prayer life, and then God protecting him. It was very cool. Found it. To me, it just opened up that world that's there that we can't see. It just made it really real. I was like, man, that's what goes on. You know? I mean, you ever felt just a spiritual battle? And I just made it because it's beyond what we think. Well, this kind of does the same way. This is David. David had all kinds of problems associated to wrong decisions. If he was honest, he could spend an hour telling us things. He dealt with depression. He dealt with loneliness. He dealt with family members, his own son. Think about the way, if your own son was trying to sue you, trying to hurt you, his own son is after him. Then he ends up dying. I mean, he had the embarrassment of that affair. There's a lot of stuff when you read Psalms, a lot of pain in this man's life. Some of it self-induced because of wrong decisions. I want you to listen to how he prays. And when I get done with this, we're done. I just want you to listen as we go through this chapter. It says, verse 1, chapter 18, I will love the Lord. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. What you read in verse 2, is there enough strength to handle any problem? Yes or no? Okay, and guess what? Help's on the way. Okay? The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. He's not just talking about physical enemies. He's talking about emotional enemies. He's talking about brokenness. He's talking about life. And he said, I will call upon the Lord, and he will deliver me from my enemies. Now listen to how he words this. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. And some say, well, he was sick. No doubt that was part of it, but not with this phrase. Floods of ungodly men made me afraid. That doesn't have to do with being sick. That has to do with being life. So this is what he's feeling. The sorrows of death compassed me. If you say, I'm surrounded with my problem, okay? The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. He's surrounded and he's drowning in this. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. That doesn't mean screaming people in the middle of the earth. That's not what he's talking about. Again, he's talking about how these things have impacted them and how he's feeling about it. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. In my distress. Have you ever been distressed as a human being? We spent the whole week talking about that. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God. He heard my voice. Is that not an incredible thing? If David, drowning in his problem, could go to God and God would hear him, why would he not hear me? Okay? If he'd hear God, if he'd hear David, why wouldn't he hear me? In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple. Isn't that awesome when you pray where your prayer goes? Not to a temple down here. Right to the very throne room of God. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Is that not a wonderful thought to know? I can go to God. I can be honest. I can say, God, this hurts me. God, I struggle here. God, I'm in a ditch over here. God, I feel like my faith is stuck. God, I lost my joy. God, I feel like I'm going in circles. Whatever it is, you can go to God and he hears it. Now this is the part where, to me, it gets interesting. Listen to verse 7. So what happened in verse 6? He prayed. The prayer entered the temple of God. God heard him. Can you just, I'll do it here. Can you just, so God's on his throne. He hears one of his children cry out to him. what you read next, here's what God did. Okay? And if you think I'm wrong, look at this. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. And then look what he did. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundation also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. When he's describing how God reacted to when he cried to him. And he said, when he heard my cry, my heavenly Father got up to defend me. He got up to help me. Miss Mary Jo, how fast would you get to Trinidad if you knew your son was in intensive care and was going to die tomorrow? You'd be out of here. What would you do, Brother Moore, if you saw somebody beating up one of your girls? You're here talking to me and that's going on in the back room. You'd clear a pew and you'd be out there in a minute. And here's what he said. He said, then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundation also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth. Devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. Whoo. Man, is that not comforting? He's saying, Dave, who's picking on you? Do you know he loves you? He tells us what to do and not to do in this book, not because it hurts us. So he says, just follow me. Live like I tell you, you'll be okay. Don't get off this path. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. I like this in verse 10. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. He's getting to you as quick as he can. Remember, this is David explaining what happened when he prayed. This is him explaining how God helped him. This is the words that he's using. If this wasn't like this, then why would God let him put it in the Bible? And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before him, his thick cloud passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, I like this part in verse 14. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. Who's them? His enemies. Who's them? The sea he's drowning in. Who's them? The stuff that's compassing him about. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of the waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. Who? David. And drew me out of many waters. What does it say in verse 4 what he is having a problem with? The floods that they've overtaken him. Here it says, he delivered me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me. Everything between 7 and 16 tells you what it looked like when God showed up on the scene. Now, may I say something to you? And then I'm done. We talked about being honest. We're not going to go through all that. I think we get that. What if you come one more time to the altar tonight? Would it not be an incredible thing for God's people just to bear their heart to their Heavenly Father in whatever life you deal with? Can you see him leaving the throne? Can you see the angel saying, "Where are you going? Pastor Pease needs me." Jumping on the wings of a cherub. The earth shaking as he leaves and shows up to help. It's not empty words, guys. It doesn't matter what it is. We can find rest for our souls. As we do that, that's how we help them. As we become better people for him, as we recognize where we need help, as we get that help, now we can take it to somebody else. And we can look them in the eye, no matter what's behind their story, and say, "The God that helped David, the God that helped me." What if a meth addict, Pastor, every time he felt that, I've never been on meth. I was going to say, I've been around my mother-in-law, but not that. I'm just kidding. You know, I've never been on meth. Thank the Lord. How many of you are so grateful for his mercy? Because I don't know, I mean, God spared me from being around that kind of stuff. All I know is that to them, that is a legitimate, real struggle. Something inside of them craves that so bad. What if when they prayed, and in their mind, they can just, and they're shaking because they just want to do it. What if in their mind they can tap what we just read? And just close your eyes and just picture God as you cry out and say, "God, I don't want to do this. God, I don't want to. Please help me. I'm so weak. I'm so tired. I'm going to fail. Please help me." And he hops on the wing of a cherub. I think that would pretty much help everybody in this room with whatever life brings you. A real comfort. Is that not comforting? A real comfort for your soul. Rest to know that that shows up. That means I can beat that. That means I can overcome it. That means I can find healing. I can get peace. I can forgive. I can let go of bitterness. Whatever that is. That's what we need, and that's what they need. And may I tell you something? If this many people in this room would let that get on the inside of you. And as that, because then we do find help with our problems. Then people see that. Well, why do you go to church every Wednesday night? Because I'm not about to miss this, that's why. I need that. Well, why are you different? You know, I mean, how come you don't have this problem? Or why don't you do that? Or something bad happened and they're saying, well, why hasn't that affected you? Or why aren't you like everybody? Why are you acting like this? Why aren't you mad? Well, here's why. I was. I did. And I am. However, I was honest with the Lord about my problem and he helped me. We all the time say, well, the Lord can help you. David, let me see what that looks like. You know what? I want you to pray for me. It does no good for me to preach this, not practice it. I'm going back to Tennessee. I got to preach on Sunday. I have a desire for these verses to be real in my life. When I go to God, with my life's problems? I want this to be very evident in 3D. Oh, it's been that way. I just couldn't see it like that. With that showing up, we're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. We can make it till he comes. Not only make it till he comes, we can smile. We could even enjoy this world. We can get on top of the problems. We can help other people. But it all starts with being honest. And it all ends with enlisting him. So what if we did that tonight? Could you imagine what God in heaven would do if he heard a room full of people pray that? Father, thank you for this week. Thank you, Father, for this church.